Thank you for joining the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Northwestern Division for today's Missouri Basin Conference call. This call is provided as a courtesy to congressional representatives, tribal, state, and local government officials, including levy sponsors and emergency managers, as well as the media. I'm Eileen Williamson, and I will be your moderator. This call is recorded and placed on the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution Service for media reuse at www.dvidshub.net/unit/USACE-NWD. Your participation acknowledges your consent to be recorded. All lines should be on mute. If I ask you to mute your call, please use the function on your phone and do not place the call on hold. We will have a question and answer session at the end of the call, and I will go over the unmute process for asking a question at that time. Our agenda today is as follows. From the NOAA National Center for Environmental Information, we have Doug Kluck. From the National Weather Service Missouri Basin River Forecast Center, we have Kevin Lau. And we have the Missouri River Water Management Division with an update of inflows, reservoir storage, and release plans led by John Remus and his staff. With that, I will hand the call over to Doug Kluck.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks again for inviting us, inviting NOAA, inviting Weather Service and all to this call. Thanks to the Corps. Why don't we go ahead and get started? I'll give a brief recap and outlook for the weather and climate over the next season or so. Looking back over the last 90 days, the image on the left is one for temperature. And if you look at that little key on the right, you can see that temperatures were pretty much near normal, slightly below in the east, slightly above in the western part of the basin. And what period, mostly June, July, and August, if you average those 3 months together, this is sort of the picture of temperature, a little bit warmer to the west, slightly to near normal in the eastern part of the basin. In terms of precipitation over that same period on the right, we see areas in sort of green where it's wet and red and yellow brown where it's dry. So as you're going to see in a little bit, and as you may already know, the upper basin has dried out somewhat over the summer. Not that that's that unusual in terms of annual cycles and all that kind of stuff, but we're unusually dry. It has been pretty darn dry in places like Wyoming, where you can see that they're having less than 50% of their normal precipitation for that summer period. On the other hand, you can see places in eastern Dakotas, which were pretty wet for the summer. So let's go to the next slide. More recently, last month or so, last 30 days, we see a similar pattern, though temperatures, again, let's say most of August, were pretty moderate, I would say, a little bit below normal, again, sort of eastern half of the region, and near normal to it, slightly above in the west, but really not much to write home about. No big temperature discrepancies over the last 30 days when you average it all out. Precipitation wise, you can see quite a bit of differences there. You can see red, again, yellow to red is below normal, and in some cases less than 50 or even 25% of normal in portions of Nebraska and Wyoming, small portions of northeast Wyoming, and in some in the North Dakota and such. The purples and blues are above normal percentages of normal in terms of precipitation. So you can see it's a typical, I guess you'd say, summer pattern, hit and miss type of activity of rainfall. One thing I'll say really quickly is that without super hot temperatures or long lasting hot temperatures, we've had a couple sort of cool periods interspersed with some heat. The pressure, if you will, on, for example, crops and things like that and such is less because temperatures are moderate as opposed to all hot. And so, in other words, not as much evaporation. Next slide, or evapotranspiration, if you want to get fancy. Next slide. In terms of soil moisture, there's a couple of different images or ways of looking at it. This is modeled for the most part. Soil moisture across Nebraska has gotten worse. Western Missouri, as you can see on the left, also showing signs of degradation in terms of this is root zone soil, so you have to dig down a little bit to find out how dry it really is. But according to these models, that place in Wyoming, western South Dakota, and western Nebraska all are sort of the epicenter of the most dryness, I guess, in the region. On the right is just another way of calculating soil moisture, and you can see sort of that same area, western Dakotas, eastern Wyoming, and portions of Kansas actually fairly dry as well, and eastern Dakota's wet. That's the way it's been. Next slide. So there's the outlook for the next 7 days of accumulated precipitation. So if you added up all the precipitation that is forecasted to fall in the next 7 days, this is what you get. And guess what? That's very dry. Yeah. So almost the entire basin is white. Where you see that light green color is kind of, I'll say, meaningless. It may not be meaningless to everybody, but if that amount falls between 1/100th and 0.1 of an inch, more power to you. But it basically is showing that we're going to be dry over the next 7 days for the entire basin. Next slide. This is week two. Beyond those 7 days, the next 7 days, more or less, the 12th through the 18th, shows on the left a pattern of much above normal temperature with a bullseye up to our north, or up to my north anyway, over the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota. But those are probability values, if you will. So those are pretty strong indicator of above normal temperatures over that that 7 day period. On the right, unfortunately, depending upon what you're trying to do at the time, below normal for the most part, precipitation chances for the basin. There's a slight hint of above normal precipitation in the highest elevations of Montana, I'll say, to the, in the western part of Montana. Next slide. So looking at September through November, and again, this is sort of averaging those 3 months together. When you average them all together, this is the outlook for that time period. And on the left, you see that temperature, the outlook for temperature over those 3 months when you average it all out, is for a slight leaning towards warmer than normal conditions. Now, it's a little stronger as you get sort of south and west into Colorado and portions of Wyoming, stronger in terms of probabilities, that is going to be warmer. So more confidence in the four corners, if you will, region of the US being warmer than normal. On the right, you see the precipitation outlook for that same period, right? And that that brown area is basically a showing where a deficit of normal precipitation would be. This is very slight. There's not a lot of confidence in this. There's not a strong confidence in this forecast in terms of whether it'll happen or not. So I'd say it's a leaning towards dryness across the southern part of the basin. It reaches up into Wyoming and, of course, all of Nebraska, Missouri, and Kansas. Next slide. So these are drought maps. So the drought status is on the left, current drought status, and you can see areas there with red that are indicators of D3, which is extreme drought, and then severe droughts, the kind of orange, and the tan is what we consider moderate drought. Yellow, whole yellow area is not necessarily in drought, but it's kind of a precursor to drought. So things are drying out. And so you can see that map shows quite a bit of drought area or precursor to drought across the entire basin. On the upper right corner is the change since, let's say, early June in terms of drought categories. So the deeper the color, the more reports you get, a darker brown, the more change to the worse. In other words, drier conditions, a higher elevation of drought in those areas. So you can see around the Black Hills, western Nebraska, eastern, Wyoming in general, and Montana in general, drying out quite a bit. And some in the lower basin too. Some of that yellow is showing up in orange color as well. So we've degraded since the beginning of June. And then the final map that I've kind of covered over there, you can't see the title of it, but that's the drought outlook. The drought outlook, and this is through the end of November. So by the end of November, this is what the expectation is that the brown area where there's already substantial drought won't necessarily get much better. So it's persistent. The yellow area is where drought is forecast, if you will, to get worse. Okay. So that includes Nebraska, Kansas, eastern Colorado, and portions of Missouri as well. So lower basin getting worse, upper basin pretty much, if you will, status quo in their drought condition, or continuing drought, I should say. Next slide. Yeah, and so key points of everything, this is the last slide, is that I haven't talked about it yet, but the El Nino La Nina situation, we're in a kind of a neutral pattern holding at the moment, but transitioning slowly to a La Nina pattern this fall. More or less, that means higher probabilities of greater than normal precipitation across the northernmost areas and some of the higher elevations, which is good for snowfall and snowpack, and maybe a tendency towards normal or below normal temperatures across that same area, across the northern portions of the basin, Missouri basin. What else have we seen? Increasing drought in the western part of the basin, upper basin, and some in the southern basin. I should probably have mentioned that. Last 30-day temperatures, though, were mostly near normal, and that has saved us to some degree in terms of that drought getting a lot worse a lot faster. Okay. The outlook for the next 7 days, moderate cool, very low odds for much rain at all next week, through the next week. And even beyond that, that the problem is temperatures are trending much above normal and a high likelihood anyway. And then precipitation also trending below normal, and unless you're in western Montana. And then the longer term through November, increased chances of above normal temps slightly, and then slightly increased chance of below normal precipitation, especially in the southern basin of the Missouri Basin. And again, as I always do, there's the advertisement for our webinar series that we hold. It'll be September 19th at 1 p.m. Central Time, if you care to listen to similar things that I just talked about, but more in depth. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Doug. Over to you, Kevin.
All righty, thank you, Eileen, and good afternoon, everyone. Just like Doug said, on behalf of the National Weather Service, I too wish to thank the Corps of Engineers for inviting us to participate on this series of calls. Again, as Doug mentioned, low flow conditions, not flooding, is again taking the spotlight over much of the Missouri River Basin. As Doug showed, according to the latest drought monitor that was released this morning, 76% of the Missouri Basin is abnormally dry or worse. Thus, since our last call on August 8th, there's been very little flooding within the Missouri River Basin, but because it is the Missouri River Basin, we have had flooding. In mid-August, we had a few days of rain that resulted in minor flooding in the Gasconade Basin that's located in southern Missouri. At that same time, the James River Basin in the area around the North Dakota, South Dakota state line, it was hit with a couple of inches of rain. That was on August 15th, and that resulted in the James River at Columbia to just barely brush flood stage several days later. So those two river basins, the Gasconade in Missouri and the James in South Dakota, were the only areas that had riverine flooding since our last call. Every month, toward the end of the month, our office issues a 3-month river flood outlook. And our last river flood outlook was released on 19 August, and it covered the 3-month period, September, October, and November. And the results of that outlook are graphically depicted here on this graphic that I am showing. Each of the 400 plus river locations that our office monitors and forecasts is represented by a dot on this graphic, a colored dot. The chance to see flooding is indicated by that color. And most locations, as you can see, are green. Green indicates that there is a less than 50% chance to see any type of flooding at that location over the next 3 months. Only a few locations, a couple located there along the James River in South Dakota, are orange, and then there's a sprinkling of orange dots in Missouri. So those locations do have a better than 50-50 chance to see minor flooding over the next 90 days. There are no locations within the basin expected to see moderate or major flooding between now and the end of November. And with that, that concludes my National Weather Service flood potential brief. Back to you, Eileen. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. And John Remus, over to you.
Thank you, Eileen. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us. As Eileen said, I'm John Remus, Chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division. Our office is responsible for regulating the Missouri River mainstream reservoir system. This is the ninth of our 2024 monthly stakeholder calls. I will provide some general remarks, and then I will turn the discussion over to my senior staff for more detailed information. As always, I want to assure everyone in the basin that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers remains fully committed to our flood risk reduction mission, protecting people and property when we can from significant runoff events that pose a threat to human health and safety. Life safety is the Corps of Engineers' priority. It is important to understand that the volume, timing, and location at which runoff enters the system significantly impacts the timing and amount of water released from the reservoirs. The Corps of Engineers understands the importance of the Missouri River in providing water for irrigation, municipal, and industrial uses throughout the basin. We operate the system to meet the water supply requirements of the basin to the extent reasonably possible. There is presently and will be adequate water in the reservoirs and in the reaches between the reservoirs, as well as below the system, to serve all water supply needs. I want to remind everyone that the Corps of Engineers does not provide or guarantee access to the water. Maintaining access to the water for whatever purpose is the individual facility owner operator's responsibility. We will continue to be in our statutory obligations to operate the Missouri River mainstream reservoir system for all its authorized purposes, as described in the Master Water Control Manual. We will also continue to comply with all laws and the provisions of the 2018 biological opinion. The summer is coming to a close, and we will be transitioning to fall operations that will prepare the system for winter operations, with the goal of having the system prepared for the beginning of the 2025 runoff season. Mike Swenson will provide more details on planned operations. As part of our fall operations, we will begin reducing releases from Fort Peck and Garrison Dams in mid-September. In the past, in order to accommodate irrigators below Fort Peck, we have been able to extend higher releases from Fort Peck to the end of September and make up that extra water with lower winter releases. However, planned winter releases are already at the minimum. Therefore, irrigators should be assessing their situation and making appropriate plans. Water users in the lower river that are on our mailing list will receive a letter outlining our planned winter releases from Gavin's Point Dam. The 2024-2025 winter releases will be similar to the releases we have experienced the last 3 winters. Water users in the lower river should be assessing the impacts to their operations and developing contingency plans if needed. The projected reservoir releases and pool levels that will be presented are based on the best available information. Actual conditions may differ. concludes my opening remarks. Thank you very much. I will now turn the discussion over to Ryan Larson.
Thanks, John. I'm on slide 14, Eileen. The 2024 calendar year runoff forecast for the Upper Missouri River Basin above Sioux City, Iowa, which is highlighted in red, is 23.8 million acre feet, or 92% of average. The September forecast is 0.1 million acre feet lower than the previous month's forecast. Moving to slide 15. The 2024 calendar year forecast reflects worsening dry soil moisture conditions in western portions of the basin, slightly above average tributary stream flow in eastern portions of the basin, and the Climate Prediction Center's, or CPC, outlook. Observed August runoff above Sioux City, Iowa was approximately 86% of average. Reaches from Garrison Dam to Sioux City were all above average, with runoff in the Gavins to Sioux City reach ending the month at 193% of average. The upper two reaches above Garrison Dam were well below average, with runoff in the above Fort Peck, or runoff in the Fort Peck to Garrison reach coming in at 53% of average for the month. Moving to slide 16. Mountain snowpack peaked below normal and approximately a week earlier than normal at 73% of average and 82% of average in the above Fort Peck and Fort Peck to Garrison reaches, respectively. For the upcoming year, the mountain snowpack typically begins accumulating in October, so the mountain snowpack graphic for the 2024-2025 accumulation season will be updated in November. Moving to slide 17. As we move towards the end of the fiscal year, more stations within the Upper Missouri River Basin Monitoring Network are scheduled to begin transmitting data. There are currently 170 stations actively transmitting data, with an additional 81 stations coming online in October. 175 sites have been going through the approval process and are scheduled to be installed next spring and summer. When completed, 540 sites will cover the plains below elevation 5,500 feet in the Upper Missouri River Basin. In summary, the 2024 calendar runoff forecast is 23.8 million acre feet, 92% of average. I'll now turn it over to Mike to talk about system regulation.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Gavin's Point releases averaged 29,300 CFS in August. Releases are currently at 33,500 and will be adjusted as needed to meet the downstream navigation targets. Slide 19 shows the system storage is currently at 54.9 million acre feet, 1.2 million acre feet below the base of the annual flood control zone. System storage peaked on July 11th at 57 million acre feet. With respect to the monthly simulations or monthly studies, the basic simulation uses the runoff forecast that Ryan just discussed. Due to the amount of variability that can occur over the next several months, we also develop an upper and lower runoff that are then used in the upper and lower basic simulations. These simulations provide a range of reservoir elevations and releases that may be expected under the different runoff scenarios. The discussion to follow will focus on the basic or most likely simulation. Information on the other studies is posted on our website. Moving on to slide 20, Fort Peck and Oahe are currently 6.7 and 3.6 feet below the base of their respective flood control pools. Garrison is 2.3 feet above the base of the flood control pool. The basic forecast shows that Fort Peck Reservoir continues to decline about 1 foot in September and then leveling off as releases are reduced. As John mentioned, releases will be reduced from 9,000 CFS to 4,000 CFS starting on September 16th. The release reduction will result in a staged drop of about 2 to 2.5 feet at Wolf Point in Culberton, Montana. Forecast shows Garrison Reservoir declining through September and into the fall. Releases will be reduced from 22,000 CFS to 14,000 CFS starting on September 16th. Reduction in releases will result in a staged reduction of about 2 feet in the Bismarck area. Forecast shows Oahe Reservoir continuing to decline during September. Releases are expected to average about 31,000 CFS in September. Now on slide 21, which details the master manual system storage checks. The service level is used to determine releases from Gavin's Point Dam to support navigation, and in combination with the bank stabilization and navigation project to help provide the downstream navigation channel. Releases are currently being set to provide flow support at a level 500 CFS below full service. For this service level on the basic simulation, Gavin's Point monthly average releases range from about 33,000 to 34,000 CFS. Releases will depend on downstream conditions. Navigation flow support season length is also based on the July 1st system storage. That check indicated there would be a full length flow support season ending December 1st at the mouth of the Missouri River. The monthly studies indicate that the winter release from Gavin's Point, which is based on the September 1st system storage check, will be at least 12,000 CFS, which is the minimum rate. Moving on to the next slide. Energy generation at the main stem dams under the basic simulation is 8.1 billion kilowatt hours. The long-term average is 9.4 billion kilowatt hours. And the last slide, number 23, shows the Missouri River Basin weekly update, which is found on our website at the address shown at the top of the slide. This webpage gives a general overview of the conditions in the Missouri River Basin and is updated weekly, usually on Tuesday morning. That concludes my comments. I'll turn it back to you, Eileen.
All right, thanks, Mike. Reminder for everyone, this is our last scheduled call for this year. So the next time we'll hold a monthly update call will be January. We've got 57 callers on the line today. And to go to the question and answer session, you'll need to press star 6 to come off mute. Or if you've dialed in using the WebEx app, there's a red microphone to the right of your name, and you can click that microphone and it will take you off mute. If you have any questions, please raise your hand and call first on those who've raised their hands. Or you can type your question into the chat. Then I will go in alphabetical order by state. Please be sure, even though your name is on there, to state your name and the organization you represent before asking your question. I'm going to open the chat. I don't see anything in the chat. I do see a hand up from Justin Reimers. Go ahead. Not hearing you, Justin. You may be double muted on your phone and on the computer. Not hearing you, Justin. You want to put your question in the chat? I'm not hearing you. Okay. Continue. Does not look like I have any other hands up. I have not seen a question show up in the chat. Justin, we'll keep an eye open on the chat, and I'll come back to you if you're able to unmute. Okay, so we'll go alphabetical order by state, starting with Iowa. Go ahead, I hear somebody. I think I hear somebody. Okay, state of Kansas. Missouri. Montana. Nebraska. North Dakota. South Dakota, and Wyoming. Okay, I did receive that question through chat. Wants to know, is there a plan to use a similar strategy to last year where flows may need to be increased ahead of extreme low temperatures to counter the potential for ice formation? John, you want to take that one?
Yes, John Remus. We will monitor the weather very closely, particularly as we start freezing in. And if we see a particularly quick or severe cold snap coming, we will increase the releases slightly from Gavin's Point to lessen the odds of ice jam and provide ice jamming and provide us a little more room under the ice. I do want to say that we do not have the ability to prevent all ice jams or all ice affected flooding, but we will do similar to what we've done the last few years if we see that coming.
All right, thanks, John. Any other questions out there? Okay, I'm going to hand it over to you, John, for closing the call.
Thank you, Arlene. As I stated in my opening remarks, the life safety is the Corps of Engineers' priority. Being on or near the water can be dangerous, so please use caution and use the proper safety equipment. The danger is significantly increased during a period of high water or when there's ice or floating debris in the water. Also keep in mind that the meteorologic and hydrologic conditions in the basin can change and sometimes change quite rapidly. I encourage everyone to keep a close eye on the weather, access the information on the NOAA and National Weather Service websites for the most up-to-date weather information and forecast, and check out our website for information on reservoir releases and pool levels. As we've mentioned, this is our last scheduled call for 2024. I want to thank Doug Cluck and Kevin Lau for their support throughout the year here. It's been very helpful. We will be having our fall public meetings next month. They're scheduled for the week of October 28th. We are in the process of finalizing the logistics and we'll be providing details as soon as we can. What I can tell you now is the following. On 28 October, we will be meeting in Fort Peck at the Visitor Center at Fort Peck in the morning and in Bismarck in the evening. October 29th, we will be meeting in Fort Pierre in the morning and in Sioux City, Iowa in the afternoon. On October 30th, we'll be meeting in St. Louis in the morning. October 31st, we will be meeting in Smithville, Missouri in the morning at either in Nebraska City or in Omaha or in the Omaha area in the afternoon. We're still finalizing that particular location. With that, I'll offer one last chance for questions before ending the meeting.
Clay Carfill, I see your hand up. You can come off mute and ask your question.
Can you hear me, Eileen?
Sure can. Go ahead.
John, I was just wondering when the AOP is going to be released for review.
We'll have the draft AOP released here in the next few weeks.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Clay. I'm not seeing any others in the hands up or chat, John.
One last call. If you want to just come off mute and ask a question. Hearing nothing, with that, I'll end the call. Thank you so much, not just for tuning in today, but for tuning in all year. And we'll look forward to chatting with people in October when we're doing our basin trip. With that, we'll end the call. Thank you.
That concludes today's call.